Right. So let's start here in Al-Tiksha, where we left off, okay? And so what we're going to do today is we're going to finish up the Drash Saran, and then I want to just point to some of the areas where I think this area of halacha finds expression outside of this Mishpat HaMelech, or at least outside of an area that's explicitly Mishpat HaMelech, right? Things that you would not obviously have subsumed into this area. Let me just give one other framing for this issue to put a little more in explicit conceptual terms, or in more lumdish terms, if anybody needs that. Basically, what we're saying is like we're raising a hakira between two different dinim. There's a din of what's a social and political concern in halacha. That's the Mishpat HaMelech stuff and anything that's subsumed under there. And then there's a second din of dinim, we'll just call them dinim for now, of halacha, that are about justice between persons, Mishpat Tzedek Ba'atzmo. And now we're trying to see like what details or what particulars fall under which of these dinim. Is that helpful? I mean, it's just a repackaging of what we've been saying thus far. So we saw the Ron's discussion until now. Now he turns to the Al-Tiksha Alai. So what's happening in this paragraph? What's the question? So the Ron had the Melech versus the Shoftim, everything we documented yesterday. And he's a little worried now that his clean division between what's assigned to the Shofet and what's assigned to the Melech is not absolute. Why is that? Why is he worried about his clean division, Romy?
Did you see there are cases of division seems to be able to do things without attribute to the Melech?
Exactly. Because if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Membav Amid Aleph, you find things that he, prima facie, would have assigned to the Melech. And yet the Gemara assigns them to the Shofet, to Beis Din. Yes, that's the objection that he raises at this point. Now, I'm a little unpersuaded that this is such a strong objection to his theory, because what is it about this Gemara and Sanhedrin that puts pressure on his division of powers? So he says, look, I'll take Shef from what we learned in Sanhedrin. What is so? Rumi, take away Shemati, Shebeis Din. Yes, you could tell me what he says. Yeah, Shanir Mimenu.
It seems like actually there's some cases where basically we used to kind of be able to be more subjective and like, based on what they didn't necessarily know.
Yeah, so what's fascinating to my mind is that he sees the Gemara of Makin Ve'onshin Shalom in Adin, correct? Which is a halacha in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Laso Siag Torah, as in its essence, a power of the Melech. And that's a problem because in the Gemara it's assigned to Beis Din. Now, why should we think this is a special power assigned to the Melech? Why should we grant him that proposition? Romy?
Because it's outside of standard Dinei Torah.
Ah, because it's Shalom Min HaTorah. Okay, so I just want to point out that itself is not obvious, because you might have said that the domain of the Melech is the domain of the political, the domain of the Tikkun HaMedina, and you might have said this is Makan Vonshin Shalom Min HaDin for even just the enforcement of straightforward religious things, let's say Kalayim or Shabbos or... It's not obvious that Makamun Shalom and Adin would fall under the domain of the social.
Do you think it's more true that it falls under the category of children?
No, I think you're right. It's not obvious where it should fall. I think that's partially what he struggles with a little bit in the next sentence, in the next paragraph. But he says, Shanir Mimenu Sheminoi Habezdin Hu Lishbot Kefi Tikun Ha'es Vazman. So it's actually that phrase is very telling. See, there's a bit of an imprecision in the Ron's analysis that here he slides between what is about the exigencies of the day, the temporal, local requirements of society, And what is a social concern? It's not obvious that those should map onto each other. I mean, I could have said the domain of the Melech is the domain of the social and political, Tikkun HaMedina. The Ran thinks, the domain of the Melech is really anything that's ad hoc, local, temporal, non-eternal type of consideration. Yes? So I just want to point out, the Ran seems to think that those two go hand in hand. You could have thought that the domain of the Melech is much narrower than that. Okay? But I think Romy's right. He's thinking anything that's Shalom Min HaTorah is assigned to the Melech. Yeah. Okay? So he goes on. And what's his answer? Anybody want to follow up on that, or that's okay with everyone? Dov, did you find this obvious, this point of the Ran?
Yeah.
Well? Kind of obvious?
Makes sense.
Vada, Safik Vada, coherent. Okay, so then what's the Ran's move? What's the Ran's answer to this? Romy? Ve'enochin.
Ve'enochin, Abba, Bisman, Sheyu, Din, Charles, and Henry Melech, as of Henry English, for the Am, Mishpat, Tzad, Bavad, Lolo, Tikun, Inyanam, Biotim, Bizet, and Moshe, Yikin, Amelech, and Kofa.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Aval. Very beautifully written, right? He's very explicit. There are two powers here, and he's saying, look, it's preferable that the powers be separated, one to the Melech, one to the Bezdin, but it's possible for the two powers to be concentrated in the same entity. When there's no Melech, that's what happens. They're both concentrated or subsumed under the jurisdiction of the shofet, but it's not that they merge into the same type of halachic power, just that the shofet himself now has two roles. He has a political and social role on the one hand, and then he has the tzedek amiti role on the other hand. But they're still separate kochos, right? HaShofet yichlol shtei kochos. Romy, you have a follow-up on this?
Yeah, what do you think about the fact that the king can grant them the
babies in these Paris? Yeah, I don't have a problem with he could deputize them. Imloshit and Melech lam kofo. It seems like it's preferable that the Melech retain them for himself, but he has the authority to deputize an agent.
And what happens when?
What happens when what?
I'm just thinking, this is also a question on the end of the sentence, on his conclusion that the Shofi can hold both powers. Like, aren't there a lot of steers that will come out?
I think you just have to. Why would there arise stiras? I think you just have to.
Meaning, because how is it? Shofet. Meaning, like, you know, in the case of the Hasra, for example, you know, or even accepted.
I think so. We might say, look, why is it that Lechatchila the Ran thinks these should be separated?
Right. Meaning, it doesn't matter that you can't tell which power is using at any given time.
Right. Or maybe, and then even when they're concentrated under the same entity, to what extent should that entity separate them? Right, so should the shofet, who's makin v'onchin shalom min adin shalom ba'asra, should he say, look, this is a shalom min haTorah punishment, right? We're acting here as the political sovereigns. And I think it's okay. I think it's okay for them to wear two hats and just do them differently and be conscious of when they're doing one role, the other role. Now, you might say, what's the Ran's theory about why these should be separated l'chatchila? So you might say, A, because it's... maybe it's very hard for a person to occupy both of those roles that are inconsistent with each other, right? Could we trust somebody to both be the, look at the world through the perspective of true justice and through the political needs of the time? Maybe not, right? Maybe, so let's say that one theory for why they should be separate. Are you still separate? Am I good? Okay, so why should they be separate? So one theory is maybe it's the decision-making process is too hard when you have to wear two hats, right?
Don't be zoos to be dinos.
Yeah,
too hard in one sense.
So I think it's decision-making in that it's hard for somebody to look at the world through both of these perspectives and be able to make an informed judgment only through one of them. All right, so if I'm tasked with what's true and just and with what's politically pressing, then
it's very hard for me to both make a good political judgment and for me to separately make a good just judgment. That make sense?
So it's like different though from like an abuse of power, I always think.
Yeah, not an correct. It's not. It's right. I don't think it's like a Montesquieu checks and balances, right? Maybe you could make that argument here, but this idea is just that you want there to be clear-minded Tzedek decisions. You want there to be clear-minded Mishpat HaMelech decisions, and if somebody has both of those in mind, it's hard to arrive at either of those. Does that make sense? I think that would be one theory. Another theory, Josh, you have an explication of this theory, or you have a different theory?
No, for that, I was just going to ask, isn't that what already said the Beit Din does with, like, Din HaMshara? Like, when they come and say you can either do Din HaMshara?
Yeah, although you might... That's right. So Din HaMshara itself might be another example where these two separate powers... But you might say, ideally, they should be separated. Right? You know, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Aaron was Ohev Shalom Barodev Shalom, and Moshe was Yigav Adin HaSahar. So you could say that's an expression to... And b'diavad, in some cases, you got to wear both hats.
Right. That would be a good argument. You know, with Hatila, right? Like, Lachar Shegel Hechan Adin Nota, that Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and only somebody else could step in to do Shara, not the Dayanim. So number two, a different theory you could have is what? Meaning what?
Meaning that it's a little bit different than the corruption thing, obviously you're talking about, but it's, looks like it just looks really complicated, hard for people to understand what exactly you're doing.
Yeah, I think I would say, I'll put it a little differently, but I think this is in the spirit of what you're suggesting, that it's important for these two different tchumim to be distinct from each other, right? That people know that these are two separate types of moral and halakhic concerns, right?
Why
is it important?
Why do you want to do this? Why is it important for people to be able to make that distinction?
So, let me give it like an example. Some people think it's very important to distinguish, like, Baltosif reasons between what's an immortal principle of the Torah and what's just a takana. And Baltosif is that you can't mix those two things together. You have to know what the Dinim of Sinai were, and then what's added Hanukkah and Purim and Eruv, whatever. It's just for halachic epistemology. It's a necessary piece of knowledge for, you know, what's halacha and what's this, or maybe what's one area of halacha versus another. Does that make sense?
So therefore, it's critical for people to know that the two different.
Yeah, it's important for people to know what flows from political concerns. Versus what flows from Din Torah. Does that make sense? You can see how it gets very messy if these two things get mixed together. Right? It's like an Encyclopedia Judaica. You can read an article and they'll say, you know, according to the Mosaic law, it's this, and according to the law of the modern state of Israel, it's this. And you're like, well, those are strange things to be juxtaposed and like, it's like, you're confusing these two separate types of things, right? And you might think this is very important to keep these two types of... So, Makan Bonchin Min Adin and Makan Bonchin Shalom Min Adin need to be clearly distinguished. Do you see that? Not because the decision maker, but as Romeo is putting it more in the perception of society, that people be aware of what's X and what's Y. Josh, do you agree with that?
Isn't that like a responsibility to explain all of their rulings?
Not all their rulings.
Why not? Like, that should also be in the spirit of making sure people understand, you know, where this law is coming from, what this ruling is all about.
Did you write this in your paper?
My paper is like a half a bitch.
So here you have a second half of the page to add in right now. There is a little discussion about nowadays should they be explaining their decisions for that reason. You could put that just in terms of Lusa Bedina, but here, even just saying what flows from Mishpat HaMelech social concern.
I'm saying if they're not even responsible to explain themselves, then how is this really going to even help?
Well, you might say for these types of distinctions, they ought to. Like, so they're saying this is Pshara, this is Din. It's very important to explain whether the Psak is based on Pshara versus Din.
By analogy here, maybe it's very important for the leadership, the shofei, or the whoever is making the decision to just, and that's why it's supposed to be separated between these two powers. So it's very clear what's a ruling, what's a piece of legislation from the political ruler, and what's a piece of justice from, let's say, the shofei. Can I give you two examples to help motivate this? Maybe. I don't know if they're good examples, but
let's go back to the COVID example. So let's say the Rav of a shul says that I looked in Shulchan Aruch and it's a din Torah that everyone has to wear masks. What would your reaction be?
Show me.
What? Show me. I don't know, maybe you could look in Shulchan Aruch and come up with that answer. I'd be surprised, right? But you might say,
you do, it's like it's bad to speak in those terms because it's confusing like questions of governance with like what's a question of like some other areas of halakha maybe.
Right, but that's not about socialism.
Yeah, it's not about, that was just a metaphor for where it's sometimes important to distinguish between like which categories of halakha you're appealing to. Sorry, you're looking at me like I'm from outer space.
No, I think like that's a very nice classic example. I would say, oh, like, don't talk politics from the pulpit.
Yeah.
You don't speak with authority on that topic. You're just speaking as someone with a perspective on social issues.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of
that might just degrade your perspective on political issues.
Right. It's like when, let's say, a Rav endorses a political candidate and says, you know, halachically speaking, everyone's got to endorse this candidate. You could say, well, that's the kind of, because he's good for the Jews or something like that, right? Or because he's good for Israel or because he's anti, the, I don't know, whatever the concern might, whatever the issue might be. You might say, well, it's important to, you know, be explicit about what flows from din Torah considerations and what flows from social and political considerations. And we do ourselves a disservice when those get conflated. Yes? Anybody agree, disagree? Kari, agree? But I want to distinguish that from a third thing, which maybe Kari was touching on, a third reason to separate these, and that is that it's a question of expertise. Did I spell that right? It's really, see, I'm like a shtickle nubby that I get these spellings right. No knowledge of spelling at all. It's really just pure luck what comes out. So it's a question of expertise that, as Arya intimated, somebody who has expertise in social and political issues may not have expertise in Din Torah, and vice versa. Someone who has expertise in Din Torah doesn't have expertise in social and political issues. So it just makes sense to separate these, right? So you get the Melech, who has the expertise in one realm, and the Shofei who has expertise in another realm. And the division of labor is always good for society, right? It's bad when I got to be a jack of all trades, and a master of none. So we have some hands. Let's take Ariel, then Eitan, then Daniel, and Zacharia.
If it's the case that we're working on the question that a Melech is better because a Melech has expertise, why is it that
better?
A Melech is, for political decisions, has more knowledge? Why do we go straight to saying the power goes to Beit Din and there's no Melech versus, say, establish a Tovei or who are more political savvy versus people who are in the situations where you discuss Torah and science?
Yeah, I didn't say... yeah, it's interesting. Why the Shofei, right?
Yeah, like why go straight to...
I don't think Ron was suggesting a normative view that automatically it goes to the Shoftim. Mm-hmm. I think he was just suggesting, you know, in Navi it went to the Shoftim for whatever reason. But yeah, you could see like in European communities or in the Chuvos of the Rishonim that we read, there was the Parnasei Ha'ir who, if we take my exposition, it was the Parnasei Ha'ir who wielded that power. Mm-hmm. Right? I think in our societies today, the question is the division of power between, let's say, the Rav of a Kehila and the Board of a Kehila. Right? If anybody read Rupture and Reconstruction, anybody read that paper by Chaim Soloveitchik? So he has a little piece there about how in Europe, in Eastern Europe, the Parnasei Ha'ir, like the like the Gvirim of the community wielded the true social and political power. You know, the Rav Paskin, like Yaradaya Shilas. And he says that when you can't, like after the war, when like communities rebuilt themselves in America and Israel, one of the major shifts was like that political power was concentrated in the hands of the rabbi. And he says like the shul boards and communal leadership fell apart. Like there was no true strong institutional leadership on the political side, separate from the rabbi. And he tries to tie that in with like Das Torah being on the ascent. He says something, I don't think this is a great example, but it's an interesting example of how in the politics in Israel, he gives one, I forget, there's the Eshkol and Perez, I forget which election it was, where like the whole fate of the Knesset like hung on like how Rav Shach was going to decide, like telling like his party to swim. It's like the fact that like a whole country's political future would hang in the hands of a Lithuanian Rosh Yeshiva is something that would have been so foreign to the political and social leadership of the communities in Europe. It's an interesting piece, but you should look there. So I just think that's an interesting example of it. You know, yeah, these separate powers versus the two powers being concentrated. And
is there something unique to Amelof that the Ram is saying here, or it's just when there's no established system that's directed to that?
So what do you mean, something unique about the Melech?
Meaning is the fact that it's a Melech that there have to be other powers in the Melech building as well to be able to be the decisor on political issues, or is it that you could have a committee separate?
Yeah, I think my view is that there's nothing special about a Melech. Nothing special about a crown, right? You know, this is like the discussion of whether Dina de Malchusa applies when there's no Melech. You know, most people think it does. There's nothing special about it. Melech is the sovereign. Mm-hmm. You know, and a sovereign could be a person, it could be a few people, it could be an entity. So, yeah. Great. And that's basically what the Ran himself is saying, that there's a koach ha-melech imminent in the shofet when there's no crowned head. Yeah? Okay, so who is next? With Eitan, you were next?
I have the same question, but also just to back up your thing of expertise. At the end, he said the Melech should be carrying the Torah around with him because he doesn't have as much expertise, I guess, in that.
So I don't think he says he doesn't have as much. We have to look at that. We'll get to that line. I'm not sure if he says, well.
Yeah, compass. Yeah, but like.
The compass. Right. What do you mean by the compass?
I'm sorry, Berman speaks about the compass all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That you have to
the Torah is the compass?
That it's in the back of your mind at all times. Interesting.
I don't know why I was thinking... Well, I'm not going to get distracted with this. We'll come back to this. Relating to the five Torahs. Not sure why I thought of that. But Eitan, to respond to your point, I'm not sure the Ran thinks it's an expertise issue. That's why the Melech has to have a Sefer Torah. Rather about... because he generally operates Shalom min HaTorah, he has to rein himself in by reminding himself that he's still subject to the Torah. Not a knowledge issue, right? Any follow-ups, or that's be great? Okay, Daniel, you're next, and then Zachariah.
My question was it.
Great.
Yeah, it's kind of like reflecting on the entire thing, like you mentioned, like Das Torah, as in what exact point, which of these premises does Das Torah deny? It's denying that there's different interests, like even like the entire Ran's premise, that there are different interests, as everything religious. Does it deny that, oh no, there are different interests, but expertise, of course the Rabban will have all the necessary expertise.
Yeah.
There is no different expertise in different areas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's a good question. I don't know. You know, we'd have to look more into the
psychology of Das Torah.
Yeah, the psychology, theology, metaphysics. There's a lot to look into there, but I don't have we'd have to go deep into the sugya to talk about it coherently. Yeah. Okay. Romy, so we have, let me just say, it's very possible here, although I think this is anachronistic, or maybe tendentious, to read in something retroactively into the halakha. You know, you could say the separation of powers is about checks on powers, but I think that's just reading Montesquieu into, you know, the Ran's theory. And it's really not obvious that in the Ran that there's some, like one could check the other in a meaningful way. Did you get that impression from the Ran? Right, you get that impression. So, you know. But it's something to think about and look for, like the
the Melech having to carry a Sefer Torah is clearly trying to check his power. But the Rana doesn't explicate, oh, the Shoftim could tell the Melech when he's exercising power beyond his jurisdiction. So the Rana doesn't have that, but it's worthwhile looking at other people. And let me just also say, it's worth thinking about other areas of halacha where you find separation of powers. Anybody know any examples off the top of your head? This week's Parsha. You should look at the Ramban in Lo Yasar Shevet Miyehuda and Lechok Ibn Bein Ragla. So the Ramban there says that the Malchus, he talks about the Chashmonayim, because they're Kohanim, they're not allowed to serve in the Malchus. Anybody know this Ramban? Take a look this week. It's good Dvar Torah for your Shabbos table. The Ramban there has a theory about separation of power between the Kohanim and the Malchus. He says that the Chashmonayim were punished because they weren't, they were supposed to dedicate Batem Tishmu Eskun Aschem, the whole Dvaram Zbeach. Look at the pasuk that he quotes in Bamidbar. That the Kohanim's power is specifically for the Avodah and for Horah, and it shouldn't extend into the domain of the political. It's interesting. Another application, but a different type of separation of powers. Okay. Any other follow-ups on this? Okay, so we're going to reset the clock to 2 minutes because of all the discussion. And I have 3 minutes to finish the Drash Thoran on Benji's account. Okay, so Romy, so what other examples does the Ran give of when these powers are combined in a single person? Not just the Shoftim example, but he gives two, I believe. Okay, good. So Yeshua is one example. That Yeshua had a koach malchus, even though he wasn't a melech. And what's the other example? Yeah, that maybe Moshe had a din melech, even though he wasn't functioning with a crowned head. And that's all paradigms for his idea that when there's no melech, the koach hamelech could be assigned to some other body. Yes? So let's now move to V'Efshar Od Lomar. And here's, I think, what everyone is referring to maybe as the retraction. Right? Is this the main pivot point in the piece? Or maybe the Ran is walking back his central thesis? So Roman, take us through this. V'Efshar Od Lomar, Shekol Ma'ashirim Shach Mishpar HaTorah, Bein Shu Kfi HaMishpar HaTzodik, Bein Shu Kfi HaTorah HaShah, Nimsa Bein Shu, Kamu L'Shafet HaMishpar HaTzodik. Go ahead.
About tikkunam yoter mizanim to melech lo lishpo.
Okay. So what's he saying here?
Basically, that now he seems to suggest that the shofet has the right to both powers, and melech only has the right to the power of melech.
Supplement. Yeah. Meaning, I think what the Ran is walking back is exactly the assumption that I point out is a little strange in the beginning, that. He seemed to say the initial assumption the Ran made based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, or what he saw as a problem in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, or to be more precise, the assumption that makes the Gemara in Sanhedrin problematic is that if it's a temporal lo min haTorah power, it's the melech power, right? Anything that's kefi ha'eis uchfi hazman. Machimuster Shalom and Adin is going to be a melech power. And now he walks that back and says, I don't know, maybe Bezdin, the Shoftim, could have Kefi Azman Litakein HaMitzvos, because that's Nimshach LeMitzvos HaTorah. Right, so it's not necessarily about Din Torah versus... So initially he was saying, like, the Shoftim do Din Torah and the Melech does everything else. And now he's walking that back a little bit and saying, no, maybe the Shoftim do anything relating to the mitzvos, whether it's Din Torah or Shalom in a Din Torah to enforce the mitzvos, and the Melech does everything non-mitzvos related. Yes? I think that's the shift at this point, right? Tikkunam biyoser mizeh, meaning tikkunam beyond what's nimshach lemitzvos haTorah, that's the melech's domain. So the difference is just how much shalom min haDin Torah do you think the Shoftim naturally has? In his first formulation,
They don't really have that. That's a power of the Melech. So even to enforce, let's say, the laws of Shabbos, let's say you find that people are not keeping the laws of Shabbos, and you want to be makavon to shalom and adin, right, without hasra or something like that. Originally, he thought that would be a din melech, and now he's saying, oh, that could be a primitive or a fundamental din bezdin, and the melech's domain, let's say, is tikkun hamedina exclusively. Tell me about this.
Well, maybe it's will read the last line, but I think that kind of gets hard to say in the next line.
Yeah. Because here he seems to contradict himself a little bit, right? So let's see. So he says over here,
Ve'olam Mizeh. Ve'olam Mizeh she'ashof nidmanu lishpot et ha'amish v'atzedek v'nimshach mizeh shtei toliyot. Ha'echad shalom v'gamrei hu she'yichol ha'shef ha'lechi v'yibach v'hem. Ha'shen hi l'tikun siduram.
Right, so what's tikun siduram? Does that mean social? Or does that mean?
Lishpot et ha'amish v'atzedek and to be mitakein in the sidur of the am.
You mean like social organization? As opposed to litake and like the sidur of the mitzvos. That's how I think the better, the more elegant read is to say litake and sidurum is the mitzvos observance. But you're right.
Well, not textually.
What?
Not textually.
Correct. Textually, sidur you would think is more naturally associated with social organization.
And in terms of the construction of sentences.
There are two benefits of Mishpat Tzedek, Yachol Hashefa Eloki and Tikkun Siduram. Right? Those are some. V'im Yechzar Mizeh Davrak V'Tzorach Hasha Yashlimenu HaMelech. Nimtza Inyan HaMishpat Masar Ruba V'Yikol Sanhedrin U'Miyuto Al HaMelech. This little paragraph is very confusing. That's why I have the question marks there. It's not really clear how this summation fits with the distinctions he just drew.
Right, and he just gave Tzorach Hashah back to notes.
Right, even though he just said that Kfit Tzorach Hashah for mitzvos goes to the Bezdin. Right, that's this line right here, he says. Kol ma shenim tzorach mitzvos, bein shehu Kfit Tzorach Hashah. Right, so it's not really so elegant. But I think what he's just trying to figure out is how much Tikkun Hashah the Shoftim have versus the Melechats. But if I were the Ron, I would have been a little more precise in this last summation.
I don't think he's also ambiguous about the meaning, whatever. I guess I think the Tikkun Siduram makes it also unclear how much
political
power the Shoftim have.
Yeah.
And how much payment.
Correct. I think there's a lot of stuff that he ends up just lumping in the middle ground here at the end. Whereas it would have been nice for him to preserve a much more categorical and absolute distinction between these. Yeah, I agree. So if somebody just, this is, even just to work out, so I guess you have to figure out what's the subject of Siduram. I think a lot just kind of goes chaotic in this little paragraph here. Skyra, do you agree? Do you have a different read or a Noah special to make it all work out elegantly?
Not today.
Okay. All right, that's the substantive part of the round. Let's just take 1 minute just to explain what's the Chetam Shel Yisrael. This is a very nice pshat that he has, a little beyond the issue of our sugya. He tries to explain how Bnei Yisrael sinned when they asked for a melech. In his view, what was the sin? What was the chet? Daniel?
He wanted the chet to be a shofri and everything.
Exactly. They wanted... They wanted to assign most Bein Adam L'Chaveiro principles and to subsume them under a melech type organization rather than to have them flow from the authority of the Shoftim, right? Meaning they wanted to blur the assignment, the separation of powers.
You
want to
make
them out
the primary judge.
Exactly. He says, right, so... Like they wanted their society to be mostly governed by social and political principles, not by Mishpat Amiti that brings the Shefa Eloki. And he has some nice diukim to support that. Okay. Anybody have thoughts on that? Parts of it? Here again. Elashe Yisrael Natu Be'esahi Yose Romi, read this.
Elashe Yisrael Natu Be'esahi Yose Romi. Stan, Shomer, Simal, and Melech, Oshi, Rakshu, Sibat, Tikun, Nathmosein, Goli, Matzah, Lehem, the Dabar, Azeh, Al, and Okay, Abamitzah.
Right.
Chaya, Chata, 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 Ram, Simal, and Melech, Shpatim, and Kikol, Goy.
Yeah, that's the Ran's characterization of what the chait and melech, to have a melech with separate powers in the political, that's great, but to try to push the set of halachos min haTorah of shoftim and put that under melech, that's problematic. So that's a very nice, I think, theory that the Ran advances. And then let's just read this last sentence here, Rami, Shazah Hevdel.
Shazah Hevdel being
Let me just go back one sentence here. Here, describing the difference between Shoftim and Melech. Because here, I know this came up in the last year, is a Melech bound by anything? Is like, what discretion does he have in deciding what the political organization of the Jewish people is going to look like? So what does he say? So you see, Mishpatei HaMalchus, he says Yasu Kirtzono. It sounds like the Melech really has broad discretion. And then he goes on to say, it's almost like we saw in Pshara, right? There's much more discretion there. Shazah Hevdel. And I think that just means that a shofet, you know, he's like working all the time to figure out exactly how does the din Torah apply to this case. For a melech, that's not the type of analysis that usually reigns. Like you're trying to figure out strategy. Are we going to attack this country or are we going to attack that country? What's the best way to raise funds for public goods? Which public goods do we need to spend on more than others, right? Hospitals or security? Those aren't, you know, deep questions that you're going to reconstruct from the Gemara. So a shofet is naturally meshubad to mishpatei haTorah, so he doesn't need constant reminders. But the melech, okay, and he explains what's the basis of that pasuk in Dvarim. Kolomar. Yeah. So, which is a very nice idea. Notice, Eitan, it doesn't seem to be about expertise. It's just about, you know, the king feels generally that he's in charge, right? That's why it's important that he have this extra warning. And then look at this. Aval b'shofet. It's just natural for a shofet to realize that his authority is just in explicating the law of the Torah. He has this natural reminder, whereas the melech doesn't have that. So I just think this last sentence is very important to reconstruct the extent to which the Ran does think that the melech has broad discretion on his own. Right? The types of decisions he's making are very much at his own discretion. Rami?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what is uncomfortable for me about this skill, is that, like, then, so the king, when you talk about things like, oh, how much we budget the security or hospitals or whatever, like those have no, the halacha has no bearing on those things. Especially when we talk about,
maybe in some very loose way.
I mean, like, especially in the sense that, like, so could the king decide that if you own a home in one place and another place, he can force you to, where you don't live, to pay for all these things, not just the water?
Probably.
So then what's the point of the halacha?
In the political realm?
So meaning it's like
yeah, maybe the it informs in some way, it provides.
It's like that, what's it called? It's like that realm, right? It's all kind of like, all of these things, there's no melech.
Yeah, exactly. But when there's a melech, we'll see the Rishonim say that. We're going to see in like literally 2 weeks, we're going to see the Tshuvas of Rishonim say, Vinyanei Amasim, like, you know, that these Tshuvas don't come from the Talmud, V'lo min HaRishonim, Ella, from like the minhag of what's been practiced.
I'm just saying, that means that like all babas is really just, if there's no minhag, then just no babas. I mean, a
say
lot.
Again?
That it means a lot of the babas kind of ideas.
Do you mean the Rashan B'nai Oyer, like the public law type things? Or?
Well, no, because, I mean, obviously, the Rambam says.
Yeah, you can say so much of Chosh HaMishpat.
Yeah.
Like I told you, the headlines episode where that Toein, that guy says, you know, the only simin in Shulchan Aruch you have to know nowadays is like minhag HaMedina.
But
right?
That's essentially what this is claiming.
This is claiming that with respect to the domain of the political. Meaning, with whatever types of things the melech, whatever falls under the jurisdiction of the melech, follow the melech. Right?
And since the melech gets inside, we'll follow the melech.
No, I don't think he's saying that. I think he's just saying, for declaring war, for raising taxes, for building roads, for the speed limit, for healthcare. Yeah, not all healthcare issues, but where to build hospitals, how many firemen to have. You could break your head reading the Rambams to try to figure those things out, but I'll just let you know, send the hay.
No, but I'm saying, but then, okay, so if the king decided to build the hospitals in places where, you know, I don't know, like, no hospitals in places where minorities live, you know, I'm saying, but there are ways that that could be, you know.
There are ways that that might be repugnant. I don't know that they would be halach, like, I don't think you're going to find a siman in the Shulchan Aruch that tells you where to build hospitals. You think you will find a siman?
Well, I think that there's, like, I would assume that halacha would have something about
it. It does, Mishpat HaMelech.
But that's not, there's no moral, there's nothing there.
There is, what do you mean? It's very important to have a melech.
You can keep social order, it's very easy to keep social order if you put down half of the population. Whatever half, you know? You keep social order if you put Jews in ghetto, like, I don't know.
Okay, so some things, we saw that even the miyut, the halacha gives them a schus. Right? So, like in our sugya, tzarchei ayir, the miyut have a right to tzarchei ayir. So the answer is that falls under the shoftim, not under the melech.
That's what I just asked, but that's what I said. Okay, so the water, so if you live in a different town, then the king shouldn't force you to pay for it.
Correct. I think, correct. I don't think, no one's saying the melech has carte blanche discretion to do whatever he wants. The some things the halacha assigns rights, let's say, that are not overridable by the melech.
Which ones are those?
So that's an interesting question. We have to figure out which dinam can be override by a melech. But this is like every discussion of dinam the malchus dinam. Right?
I definitely.
Even in our sugi, we saw that there are some cases where the miyut has a power to be kofa the rabin. Right? Now, that's just a question about wherein are the limits or the borders of the melech's koach.
Yeah. Right? I guess I'm getting at it. What I'm basically saying is that I appreciate the chiluk and I get what the Rambam's trying to do. But in a certain sense, if you don't have the details figured out, you don't have anything because you don't have, you know, there's no explanation for what the king's power actually is. All we know is that theoretically, right, when I walk out into the world, it's like, yeah, I know that there's a political power and a religious whatever power, and so therefore I'm obligated to follow the government and the king in many respects, but I don't actually know in which respect, so I don't have to follow them.
Well, let's look at it from the other direction. What's the halachically appropriate speed limit? So you're saying we could either say there's a mishpat melech we have to follow, but we don't know where exactly it ends. I'm saying the alternative is to say there's a whole set of issues that are just not addressed or that are not addressable by the halacha in itself. Right? Speed limit. How much to tax everybody for Social Security. Right? I'm saying that there's...
Well, but those are different. Like the speed limit, I'm like, yeah, I don't really know how you come up with exactly the right... So yeah, Mishra Melech should do some good calculations. But what if Mishra Melech said it should be 100 miles an hour everywhere?
Like in Germany.
Everywhere.
There's no speed limit.
So then, right?
So Melech could disagree.
Okay, but I'm saying that's not the same thing. I mean, it's one thing we can say, oh, there's no, like, how we miss out the speed limit. So that's true, and therefore we can come up with some speed limit. But if the Melech says that the speed limit is 100, then we die all the time.
Then you impeach the Melech, and you get a new Melech. What? Is that a problem?
I don't know. It's not a bit of impeachment here.
What?
According to the Ron, that's exactly. You just decided now that you need that.
No, it's well established that you could impeach a Melech. We'll see. Of course you could impeach a Melech.
Like the Ron doesn't put any limitations on, right? The Ron doesn't say, oh, if these high crimes and misdemeanors.
But you can't expect him to do everything. I'm saying it's he's laying out the theory, and then you have a question. No, how do we rein in the Melech when we have to? So, Navi is filled with stories of, you know, reigning in kings, bad kings, right? So, and we'll see. The king has no authority with respect to certain things that are bad. If it's not Tikkun HaMedina, so you know that's all. I think how exactly it's implemented is different from the question of is there enough in the structure of the relationship between the melech shoftim, and I think there is enough there to say, you know, there's some things the melech doesn't have jurisdiction. Yeah. Great. Ariel.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Lichtenstein's testifying in Knesset about abortion, where he said that poskim need to have sensitivity to each situation. Is there an idea that you want the melech to make things that are not sort of tied to halacha more broad because certain situations you need more flexibility within psak, and if it's going against you, you haven't been in the initial round?
Say a little more about the question.
Meaning, is there an idea there that you wouldn't want the dina de malchuta to be aligned 100% with halacha, because in certain situations you want it to sway a little bit differently based on nature or whatever's going on in the situation and what the dayan need to do, so therefore the political considerations are different than the halacha.
Well, I think that point about the political considerations in the domain of the political being different from what would be otherwise the Din Torah considerations is implicit in the Ran's analysis, right? I think he's envisioning that there's just a separate set of social issues, like the speed limit example, that are just not discussed or not discussable by the classic Din Torah.
But is there a possibility that even things that are discussed within Dinei Torah, you want a different solution within a political?
I think that's a much more controversial claim. Mm-hmm. The notion that there are things that there is a clear Din Torah about that the melech should override.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little more... Obviously, there are cases, like the Ran's example of Makan Monshin Shalom and Adin is a type of example along those lines. But in which types of cases, it's much more. I don't have enough information here to weigh in on that. Mm-hmm. So, but if you find something, bring it our way. Yeah. Okay. So let me just quickly call to your attention. Any other comments on Justice Aran? Wonderful little piece, right? Yeah.
Little might not characterize it.
What?
Little might not
characterize it. So it's actually pretty little considering it's.
Little in the same way 5 minutes was 5 minutes.
Right. We, just because we schlepped it out, the piece is still little. It's still a lot. That's what I'm saying. It packs a strong punch for a little piece. Josh, you have a...
So, at the end of the day, are we, retaining this value of separate powers, or...
Who's we?
The Ran.
The Ran, for sure. Yeah, the Ran is the...
Even though, you have that whole middle X,
what's this little thing at the end?
As we went on, we were saying, it's actually, the show didn't have more power than we would have.
Yeah, I think that's just a question of exactly where to draw the line between...
Once you say that they could punish
Shalom and Adin,
then a lot of these reasons, I think, are not as applicable.
Right, so I think... I don't think that's such an issue because one of two things. Either the Ran, if you go with his first formulation, is saying that l'chatchila they should be separate, and it's only b'dieved when you have no melech that they could be put together. Okay, so it's ideal that there be separate powers. That's his first formulation. But even if you go with his second formulation, he still preserves a separation of powers between whatever it is, the domain of the political and the domain of the religious or Din Torah. He still recognizes that distinction. He's just saying that even the power that's tasked with enforcing Din Torah could sometimes use Shalom in a Torah means to achieve the implementation of the mitzvos. So you still get a separation of powers between the political and what he calls the Pukim and mitzvos. The only thing that he shifts really is how much the Shoftim power could do. Kafiyaz man ba makam.
So when they're punishing Shalom and Adin, it has to have a mitzvah objective as opposed to
correct.
A political objective.
That's how I read it. This gets into what is Sidu Ram in that passage, right. But that's definitely how I read it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I think this whole Ram gives the total opposite impression than we got in the Shara Sadia.
Okay.
Which Basin's primary role is Shalom, and what does the Ran think when Basin does Shara? What are they doing? Are they just trying to compete with Medini? What happens when they're doing with Mishur Sadin? How does he read the Gemara Lo Harav Yishlaim Lo Shasa Din?
Yeah. This is a variation of Josh's point. Because Josh earlier said, what up Shara and the separate powers discussion.
Right. It doesn't seem like these things, Shara is like Mishpat Melech. It's I don't think that's just based in adopting Mishpat HaMelech sometimes. It seems like a pretty intrinsic part of
Beis Din itself.
Yeah, it seems like...
Especially with the riyas that we saw, like that the value of pshara is...
Because
din can't be kfiya makom kfiya zman.
Yeah.
Right, kasha lamod ala din in many cases.
Almost maybe you just say, yeah, the pshara and the mishpat din, all these things are really kind of melech-y things.
Yeah.
And we really don't really implement the...
I think
so. Mishpat sodei la'atzmo, like at all. And maybe mitzvah to not do mishpat sodei la'atzmo.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. So you guys all hear Zachariah's point? Zachariah's point is, well, what's the relationship between din and pshara and melech and shoftim? Do those, is pshara itself a type of, would the Ran say it's a type of mishpat HaMelech, you know, handed over to the shoftim, kefiya zman, kefiya makom? Or would, are these two separate types of distinctions? Right? I think that's a very important question. And if anybody wants to write about that in their paper, if anybody needs to, if you need more space, just talk about Pshara, Din, and Mishpat HaMelech, Josh, okay? Because now I'm going to talk about this. But I think that's a very yesodistic question to address. You know, part of me wants to say, yeah, like Pshara might fall under this like cloth of Melech. Part of me wants to say that.
And like the tour where it's like, oh, it's all about Jason's job, it's all about Shalom. This is like a post-Melech world.
Exactly.
And yeah. We just don't really appreciate what...
And that's the beauty of the Gemara. I'm saying, if you look at that Gemara in Sanhedrin, it has like Moshe as the Yikub HaDin HaSahar guy. And Aaron is Oev Shalom, Berodev Shalom. So the Gemara even sets it up as there were these two leaders and they each wielded a different type of halachic interest.
Do you ever hear from the Ramadan about the diet of kids? I can't allow for more than what the
Lily
is
suing
for.
In the Yitzayim case. Yeah. Because then it gets tricky. Then, Pshara, or if that's a Pshara type principle or a Mechila principle, it gets a little tricky in some of those. If it's a Mechila issue, it's not really much of a problem, but yeah. I think that's a very natural further part of the analysis. Okay. Shmuel Aleph Ches, Perek Ches. Anybody take a look there? What's going on there? That's just the explication of the Mishpat HaMelech, of the powers that the Melech had. So the reason why I just put this on here is because we're going to come back to this in a moment, but even just on its own, this could be a good Torah or Navi source for the fact that a Melech does have special powers, right? Especially in the domain of the political. And actually over here, Esed Oseichem, Es Karmeichem, Es Adeichem HaTovim Yikach, V'nasan La'avadav, Vesavdechem es shifchosem es bachurechem atovim ves chamorechem yikach v'asa l'malachto v'atem ti lo la'avadim, all these psukim. So the Meiri in Sanhedrin says that this is a power of taxation. Because when you pay a tax, you're basically like a eved, right? You're meshubid to pay a certain amount. And so the point is that the Ran didn't make up the powers of the Melech. Those are implicit in the second and Shmuel, and Kol Gesh and Mar Sanhedrin, whether Kol Akasa Parshas Melech Melech Mutarbo, but this is there is some good Raisa backing for the Ran's analysis. Okay, let's move on to the next section of our presentation. So just to be keep everybody aware of the flow of the presentation. So we just spoke about the Ran's Mishpat HaMelech. I remind you, why are we looking at the Ran's Mishpat HaMelech? Somebody want to remind us? Why are we looking at the Ran's Mishpat HaMelech? Benji, you want to tell us why we're looking at the Ran's Mishpat HaMelech? Benji, why?
I'm not sure.
Get out of this year.
I
just love AJ used to throw us out of class all the time.
Just to see if this psak corresponds with that political theory that he laid out in Russia?
No. That would be an interesting enterprise. But why are we looking at this?
Mechanism of Kof.
Yeah, because we're looking at the mechanism of the Mishnah and Dav Zayin of Kof and Zezel Livnos Beishar Videlas.
Right.
You weren't thinking so meta. Like,
I mean, that's just like backing up. The methods of Mishnah was like 2 weeks ago. The methods of the
Kof. That's why it's important to have a reminder every now and then, right? So we're in the Mishnah of Bava Sadav Zayin. Kogan Limnos Beishar and Choma for a year. We saw somebody show us, oh, this is based off the power of Rove that the Kahal has, right, for Tsarche HaYir, for the social requirements of the city. And my contribution to understanding that Mishnah is to just conceptualize it in terms of what the Ran explicates as the Koach HaMelech in Halacha. But that's how we're looking at the Drashas Ran. So I think it's a deeper way of characterizing what type of halachic power is being wielded in the case of Kofin says to pitch in for a tax for security. And even when you see the Rishonim's analysis of Kofin says, what did the Rishonim immediately say? Oh, it's the power of Rov B'nei HaYir, right? And I'm suggesting, or I'm arguing, that's really a subset of what the Ran calls the power of the Melech, even without a Melech, to respond to Ariel's earlier point, right? It's not unique power to the Melech. In fact, later on, I'm going to argue that the Koach HaMelech itself is just what? No? It's just the fact that he's the representative of the Rove. He's just like a Zion Tuve Yair. I mean, that was the Ravya's point, right, on the Yushalmi. That if he's appointed from the call, then he has the power of the call, right? That's what we spent not 2 weeks ago, but last week discussing, right? They're the apotropis of the town. So you don't have to say maybe there is a chalos melech for certain things, but even the melech, like his power really derives from his being appointed by the call. So look here in Shmuel Aleph, I'm just going to run through this very quickly. Pasuk Dalid, who's our Navi experts here? Anybody? So Josh Hurt, why don't you read this for us? We crown
sure
you.
That is for
sure. He's absent, so in the absent, when we don't have Ned here, you could have the Koach Ned.
I'm the last guy on his job.
Josh, read this pasuk for us. Okay, so notice, and the next pasuk is they demand, give us a melech, right? That's the next pasuk. So who makes the demand? Kol Zikne Yisrael, right? So notice that the request is, the pasuk goes out of its way at least to say that the demand was made by the representatives of all Klal Yisrael seeking this. Okay? And when Hashem tells Shmuel to go ahead and appoint a melech, what does he say? Yeah, listen to the Kol Am, right? So it's the Am that's calling for this appointment. And again, later on in Pasuk Tes, V'ata Shema Bikolam. Right? Listen to their voice. So just notice, I think it's Medir and Pesukim in Devarim also. It talks about that the is going to come. Anybody know the Pesukim in Devarim? You'll come into Israel. And the people are going to ask for a king. Some of the similar, right? So I just want to point out, the Pesukim seem to emphasize this that it's requested by the call. And so it's worth inquiring, we're not going to get into this analysis now, but an implicit assumption that I'm making in linking these two sigyos is that this power of the Melech is not unique to the Melech. This Ariel asked this question, but I'm just suggesting explicit again, but even the call of the Melech just is an application of the call. Yes? Let's take some hands, Josh, and then Eitan.
I was going to say that doesn't make sense because we saw that the people could usually, a lot of Rishonim thought that if the people disagreed with the Tuvei HaYir, then they lose the power. But if you can actually impeach the king, then I guess that can make sense.
Yeah, of course. So we'll see. That's a question. Is the king impeachable?
Because if he's not, then he has much more power than the Tuvei HaYir does.
Right. Well, we saw it's an interesting question. I guess, can you empower the Tuvei HaYir to be impeachable? Right. That's some of the tension. Right, once you give them power to make decisions on behalf of the Kahal, so is the Kahal bound by having is it irrevocable in some way? So you can ask that question for a Melech. That would be like a cheap way out, right? Where you can say the Melech still has the power even if they try to impeach him. But I think there's a good argument that the Melech is impeachable, which we'll see. Okay, Eitan?
Yeah, we're going up to Pesukim here. Wasn't Shmuel and Hashem, except maybe Shmuel for asking for a Melech? So maybe...
it seems like the ideal society is just filthy, but because they couldn't deal with that, then...
Maybe. That's the Ron, right? The Ron already has a story to tell about... It's not asking for the Melech, it's the specific powers they wanted to assign to the Melech. That was the second half of the Ram's Drasha. Right? Rumi?
I'm just on the... But it doesn't seem like the king is appointed. Right? I mean, when the story plays out, he's not appointed. I mean, he's not like elected. And therefore, if he's not elected, it's hard to...
It was like he didn't fill in a bubble? He didn't fill in a bubble?
No, it wasn't a random... not random, but like, what appeared seemingly random, like that.
Well, I guess it's an interesting question. What would happen if the Kal had a view about who should be the king?
You think they just happen to not?
They just said, give us a king, right? And Shmuel, you're the Navi. Get us a king. So Shmuel went and, you know, found Shaul.
Yeah.
Right. It's an interesting question. If the people, you know, Shaul was Mishich Malamala. He was, you know... head above everyone else. It's an interesting question. If they had a preference, that it be somebody else, but they've had... It doesn't come up in the psukim.
Well, it doesn't... Yeah.
There's one candidate.
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't suggest that the proper way to do it was that... Well, there wasn't one candidate, right? Because they put up a bunch of names, right?
Okay, but...
The specific question of... You don't get a sense that there was it was a contested issue about who gets to be the Melech.
Yeah, that's fair, but I think the reading the Kol Ha'am in both cases, in Varam and here, as about appointing the king as opposed to about it being like you can choose whether or not to have a king,
right,
is not so.
Yeah, we'd have to look deeper into this. Right, this wasn't my.
Right.
There's just it would be a sugya. We'd have to look at and be a mevarer, like exactly what type of appointment. I'm just pointing out that part of the legitimacy of a melech in the psukim seems to be that. It's Kol Zikne Yisrael make the request, and it's the Kol Ha'am that makes the request. Right? Eitan Northman?
What, like, obviously this is for, like, Shmuel, but what, like, mechanism could be used according to the Ron to explain, like, Moshe's power over the people?
Yeah. That's going back very far. I don't know. We'd have to look into it because Moshe was like an atypical example.
It's like kind of both the Shofet and.
That's the Ron's point, right? But even then, by Yibishur and Melech, you know, those are, you know, obviously they're exceptional type cases. So I don't think those would be good paradigms. But even there, it's worth looking to see like what the Psukim, you know, what some Mefarshim say to explain the legitimacy of authority. But again, Moshe wasn't like a classic political leader. He was, right? See, he may also have had certain koach melech, but he wouldn't be the paradigmatic example of where that power derives from, right? Okay, let's move to. So we have the Drasha of Ron, Kofin Lumenos Beishar. We have. So now I want to give us a third explanation, third area of halacha. So that's going to be Choshen Mishpat Siman Beis. Which, actually, you could just say, is an application of the question the Ron addresses. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, when Bezdin has the power of Makan Bonch and Shalom and Adin, that's a type of Mishpat HaMelech. Yes? Or that the community leaders have a certain authority to make political and social decisions. That's a certain Mishpat Koach HaMelech that the Parnase or Tuvei Ha'ir have. And that's what we're going to see in Choshen Mishpat Siman Beis. Yes? Yes, it's also nice because we're moving out of the drush. It's not just the drush of Haran. It's not just chuvos of the, you know, Rashba and the Mabit. Even though those aren't random, those chuvos are, you know, you're in the second simon of Choshen Mishpat. So let's see, let's start with the tour in Siman Beis. The tour says, even though nowadays we don't have dayanim, especially in Chutz La'aretz, who are authorized to be done dine nefashos and to give corporal punishment of makos and knasos, if a bezdin sees lefit sorech sha'a she'ha'am prutzim ba'averos, danin bein misa, bein mamon, bein kol mine onesh. So it's like, you know, despite the fact that bezdin doesn't have authority to punish, that's under normal conditions. Like under Din Torah. But if you see that there's the exigencies of the time require that people be put in check to obey the law, oh, then a Beis Din could even kill people to force them into compliance. Yes? This is like, remember the Yoreid Sugya? I said there are some Sugyas. It's like the din is that the Yoreid always gets remunerated. But there's Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha. Oh, but Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha doesn't apply in, right? This is one of those simanim, because Siman Aleph is all about how Batei Din today have no authority without Smicha Yishun Pishu Bimosh Ramenu. And then Siman Beis is, oh, but if it's Tzorech Hasha, then they could kill whoever they want, right? And then you get, so that's the beginning of Siman Beis. And the second half of Siman Beis is, oh, but only a Gadol Hador, right? Not, it starts off saying Imro Beis Din. But then it says, the Kasa Rav Elfas, that's the riff. I quote some examples. But Dafka, a Gadol Hador, Kemo Rav Nachman, the Chasne de Benesia Hava, Mimuna Ladin, Alpinasi, only somebody with real leadership. And it's interesting, why is Rav Nachman allowed to do this? Because he's a Gadol Hador, and he's Mimuna Ladin, Alpinasi. Is that a political type of power? At the fact that you're appointed by the Nasi, very possibly. Right, so just notice that. Oh, Tuvei Ha'ir Shehimchum Rabim Aleim. Who else has this power to be Makev Onshin Shalom and Adin? The Tuvei Ha'ir, right? Which, you know, is just really the people who are appointed. What?
We're all, keep going.
Well,
we're waiting for you to translate one of these words.
What do you mean?
We have a wager on what Shehimchum means.
Oh, Shehimchum?
Yeah, there's a big debate this morning about it.
Okay, what was the debate?
Well, there are a couple ideas, but it's better if you just cut it.
Yeah, I thought that Himchum is like they were appointed. That the rabbi appointed them over them.
Yeah, what
other
translation?
What else
could it possibly be?
What
other suggestion?
The wrong hated
him.
No.
That's the same word as like Mumza.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had expertise.
Distinguished, that the Rabbim distinguished them or over them. Yeah.
Open to interpretation.
What? Open to interpretation?
Yeah.
Unless it's translated as appointed, in which case it's over.
Yeah, we could look at it. We'll look at, we could pull up Jastro to get. Did anybody look up in Jastro?
I looked it up.
You look it up?
It came like warming and.
Oh, warming? Cham from the language of cham? Like, no. You have to reconjugate it. You have to reconjugate the binyan. It's probably a conjugation of like mumcha, which is mumcha l'rabim. Okay. So isn't that remarkable? Right? So the Tuvei Ha'ir have this koach bezdin, it seems, or this koach to makamon shalom adin. So I think that's. This is the tour of Koshi Mishvat Simen Beis. That's a koach, what we're calling a koach HaMelech. And this makes its way into the Shulchan Aruch also in Simen Beis. Slightly different formulation. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Beis Din, Afilu Einam Smuchim Beretz Yisrael, if they see that Dam is Prutzim Ba'averos, Vuhu Tzarech Shah, Hayudanin, Bein Misa, Bein Mamon, Bein Kol Dinei Onesh. Afilu Ein B'davar Edes Gemura. That's really like the Mishvat HaMelech, right? Shelo Ba'asra, or... even if they don't have full evidence of it, they have these extraordinary powers. V'yeshlehem koach lahafkir mamono ula'abdo kifim asherol ligdar pirtzas hador. They could be mafkir mamon if they have to. Okay. And then he says, v'dafka gedoli hador, or gadol hador, tuvei ha'ir, shehimchum bezden aleihem. Here the language in the Shulchan Aruch is a little different. Some people read this, the Sma reads this as saying that it's a Beis Din that the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir authorized to preside over the city. So it's not the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir themselves, but it's a Beis Din that has authority in virtue of having been appointed by the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir. Does everybody see that? That's the way the Sma reads this. He says, Shehimchum Beis Din Aleihem. The tour language, which we read earlier, says that the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir themselves were appointed by the Kahal, and that's why they, the leaders, have the power to punish. Where he says, "Ufima shekatzav hamechaber bezdin." The Shulchan Aruch added the word bezdin, and near devotes lomar shehim chomat zibor lebezdin aleihem. Maybe it means that the tzibor appointed the Zion Tuveyir as a type of bezdin over them, to preside over them. I don't think there's much of a conceptual difference. The point is that this, whether you call it a bezdin or just the Zion Tuveyir itself, has this extraordinary political and social power in virtue of being appointed by the Kahal, right? Shehim chum hatzibur. So that their power derives from having gotten the consent of the constituents. Yes? Everybody on board with that? Okay. Now, to say a little more about this, the Sma points out what type of authority is this? Makin vonchin shalom en adin, bein b'mamon, bein b'misa, bein b'yisurin. So read the Sma. Ariel, you want to read the Sma for us?
Sure.
Afilu em b'davar edes gemura. By the way, where does this idea of Shlomo Batzra come from? Yeah, that's the Ron's paradigm, at least for a Melech. Okay. Oh, so that's exactly. So that would be like the Shoftim type power, but we're dealing aval. Oh, so what two categories does he oppose? Yeah, I think that's very very elegant.
How would you translate Tikkun HaMedina?
Yeah. So there are two ways to translate it, a good way and a bad way. well, not good. One that's favorable to my read and one that's unfavorable to my read. Tikkun HaMedina, the favorable read is that it's for the betterment of society. Right? Like Litakein. Like Tikkun HaYishuv, Tikkun HaMedina. Which the Tikkun Medini, I think the Ran used. Another way of reading it is just like takanos, like the enactments of the kahal. So then it would be much more of like legislation. Like the kahal makes a takana that you can't have a kiddush club.
So that you can go through without the process of the struggle.
Exactly.
Which is much less...
Or no, if they make a takana, you're not necessarily bound to enforcing it according to Din Torah rules. But the reason why I think the first read is more favorable is because then Tikkun HaMedina has much more of an overt political or social connotation, as opposed to just like Takana, like Takana Sabrina Gershom. It's not obvious that Takana Sabrina Gershom is a non-political, by like not reading those mandates. So does everybody agree with me? I think this is just a very beautiful instance where what the Ran discusses in a drasha, so you might say, okay, it's nice philosophical material, is enshrined explicitly in the beginning of Kosher Mishpat. Yeah? Does that resonate? Yeah? No? Rami?
I think I felt a little bit like there's a lot of blur because of what the Ran also acknowledges, which is that if there's a Melech, then they get both of these powers. So it gets a little blurry in terms of how, like this, that one, that small is pretty clear.
It is very. I think it's very nice, right?
I think a lot of the other stuff.
Correct. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, this is why I'm focusing on the Sma. The opposition between Tikkun Medina versus Din Torah is not as clear.
Right. I mean, do they have it because? Yeah. Right. Yes.
I mean, so I think what's nice about this formulation is that it's the political social versus Din Torah. Correct.
Yeah, but this formulation. Here.
Correct. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, it's not as clear that that's the.
I think also some of the other like.
Correct, and some of the other formulations, it's not as obvious, okay. Right?
I don't think Shulchan Aruch and Torah emphasizes like proofs and not Vedas.
Exactly. About, like, yeah, and that's what the Ran himself was struggling with once he got to that Gemara in Sanhedrin. That you know, Shoftim could have Makim Onshu Shalom and Adin for mitzvos HaTorah.
Yeah,
right.
Correct. Much more like a kedusha religious well-being
yes.
thing.
But I think that's why I think, and that's why I think there's the favorable and unfavorable reading of Tikkun HaMedina, even within the Sma. I mean, if you say it in the language of Tikkun HaMedina, the betterment of the society, then it's clearly political. As opposed to Takkanos, which could just be enactments that are to reinforce Shmir HaShabbos and right other mitzvos. But I think this language of Sma is pretty clear, and that comes from a Tshuva of the Rashba over here. Shelo etzrichu edim gemurim, ela bedine Torah, kisanhedrin b'chayotze behem. Aval mi she'over al tikkuni ha'medina tzarech la'asos kefi tzarech hasha'ah. That's the mucker for the... So I think this Chosha Mishat's Beis is a very nice explanation of this. Let me give another example. The Rama himself writes, V'chei no'agin, b'chol makom, she'tuvei ha'ir b'iran kebezin ha'gadol. Makin v'onchen v'hefker and hefker kefi ha'minag. The Rama says that the minag everywhere is that the shul board or the appointees of the shul, the tuvei ha'ir, with respect to their constituents, are like the Bezin HaGadol, which is just a very intriguing formulation we're going to come back to. And then, I wanted to draw your attention to this. So the Gra, did everybody see this Gra? So here's the Gra, Kedarka Bakodesh. Not even a single word, right? Just Rosh Tevos, Baba Basra, Chasim Abiz. What's going on here? What's this going on?
Where's the O? Like, where's that?
Here.
Where's that on?
Vidavka Gadol Hador, O Tuve Ha'ir. That they have this. So where do you find in the Gemara that the Tuve Ha'ir have the power to Makin Vonshu Shlom and Adin? Well, where do you find that? What? Well, that's for Tzedaka. That's just for Mamonis. Here it's Onesh Misa, and so he's Bo Basar Ab Chesem Abayz. What's there? You're right. Same daf. Anybody know? Exactly. That's what our sugya we're going to come to later on. This Gemara right here. Rashan Ben Eir Lahasno Salamidas Val Asharim Val Scharpo Lasiel Al Kitzasan. What is Lasiel Al Kitzasan? Liknos Haso Over Al Kitzasan. Akitas devrim lasiyat lasiyam midas in Torah. They can make takanos to punish people even contrary to the Torah. So where do you get in halacha the idea that the b'nei ha'ir have a power to have this political authority? A makim on shalom and adin. Rashayim ba'basra ches and abiz. Rashayim b'nei ha'ir, which we're going to look at soon. Who's that authority given to? Rashan B'nei Ha'ir? Not in the Gemara. Oh. The Gemara itself assigns it to? B'nei Ha'ir, right? The people of the town, so the constituents. And the Gra says that's the source for the Zion Tuvei Ha'ir having this power. And that's consistent with what the Shulchan Aruch says, that it's when the Tzibor appoints them over them, right? So, Vidavka Galador, Tuveir, Shehim Chum Bezin Aleim. So, what we have here is already 1, 2, 3, 4 important expressions of this domain of this separate area that's concerned with the social and political. Whether you assign it, you know, it's implicit on Mount Zion, in my reading, just surrounds us in Mishpat HaMelech. The Chosha Mishpat Siman Beis has this about Zion Tuvei Ha'ir and Beis Din Kefi Tzarech Hasha'ah. And the Sma has the explicit opposition of the Tikkun HaMedina versus Din Torah. And then we have the Gra pointing us also to our next sugya, which actually follows from our Mishnah on Daf Zion. That's why the Gemara discusses it. About the B'nai Ha'ir having the power to make Takanos for the betterment of their society. Okay. So I'm going to say a little more to contextualize this in the last few moments. Okay. Notice that this Sma also, the Sma writes, just want to flag this. Anybody read this? How you want to read this, Ras? Chinkas Amarik. Yeah, so that's, so what does that mean?
As in, he's trying to limit the power of to a year, that they only have the power to do things for the benefit of the Kaal, not for these wild Onesh powers.
Yeah, but that works nicely with my distinction that this is fundamentally a power about Litikun Hamadina. Right? He's saying that this there's a separate domain
But Sarfe HaKahal, that the B'nai Ha'ir have authority over. Everybody see that? See it? So when he says Sarfe HaKahal, that's like the Ran saying Tikkun HaMedina, right, for their, like, the needs of society. Yes? Okay.
All right. Now, I just want to briefly point to what Josh, I want to explicate a little more what Josh said last year. Where else do we find this koach in halacha? Josh suggested Dina de Machusadina. Right, Josh? So you can look here, the Kiryas Sefer, the Mabit. Mabit we saw in his long tshuva, right? About the B'nai Yir. But in his Sefer on the Rambam, he writes, "V'gaboi hamelech." So this is about a king having the power to make laws based off dina the machusa dina. Okay, so whatever rules, taxes that the king imposes are valid because of dina the machusa dina. What's the source for dina the machusa dina? According to Mabit. What does he cite in this passage? Mishpat HaMelech. Right? The psukim in Shmuel that delineate the Mishpat HaMelech. V'afilu Melech Goy. Right? That's the authority for... And this is a bunch of Rishonim pick up on this. The Miri has a similar view. That the authority of Dina the Malchus Adina is the same or derives from the Mishpat HaMelech, which was the Ran's explication in the Drasha, right? So if you connect the dots, you could see that this area of halacha that we've been explicating through this our sugya, Vavasa Dav Zayin, Vavasa Dav Ches, the Ran, and Drasha Yad Aleph, and Chush Mishpat Simen Beis, also could undergird Dina B'Machusa Dina. And to add a little force, a little punch to that, not going to go into the details. You can look at the mirror. He also says this is the source. Notice that a lot of Rishonim say that what is the realm of, or what is the authority of Dina Malchus Adina limited to? So look at this is the Ramah in Simen Shin Samech Tes in Choshen Mishpat. Eitan, did you see this?
Yeah.
So what is the realm of the highlighted section? What's the authority of the... Yeah, so let's hold off on the Hanal HaMelech personally, because that's less interesting for us in this moment. But read this phrase. Lo amrina din l'machus adina, ela bedavar. Exactly. Shehu l'takanas b'nei ha-medina. Which again sounds like the Tzarfe HaKol that we saw in the Sma. I think that was the Sma, right? Was
this
the Sma?
Yeah, the Sma was going on.
Yes. And then Smada Tikkun, Tikkunei HaMedina. And so you get that same type of circumscription of the jurisdiction in the Rishonim's discussion of Yenu Achus Adina.
Right, that it's L'takanas B'nei HaMedina. You see that explicitly here in the Ramah. And you find it in the Rishonim also. Davar Shu Medinei HaMalchus. The Marik has a phrase... the Dina Malchus Adina applies in areas of taxes, Uminhago shel mishpatei hamelachim sheregilim lahaneg. Yeah, I think like those areas where kings customarily rule, and when Achronim quote this, they cite it as exactly what we quoted earlier, like with Tzarchei HaMedina or Tzarchei HaMalchus, or I think the Ramah's language is probably the best language. L'takanas b'nei ha-medina. Josh, do you find that compelling? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Daniel? Yeah? Romy, you have a thought on this? Wait, hold off the thought. Let me just get this, because I don't want anyone to kill me for going over just the last area where this Josh also is machabe into this. Achol k'minei ha-medina. I'm going to stop right here. I'm literally going to take 30 seconds next year to discuss this. But we did finish the Drasha of the Ran today. This idea that maybe Kol Kamina Kamedina, the idea of Akol Kamina Kamedina is also part of this area of halacha that's the domain of the social and political organization. And Chaznish pretty much says that explicitly, which we're going to look at. All right, we'll stop here. 30 seconds in the beginning of next week to talk about the Kol Kamina Kamedina application.
Is that 5 minutes, 30 seconds?
No, it's 30 seconds. And then primarily we're going to discuss Govin Lefi Mammon and Lefi Nefashos. That's really where we're starting with next week.